can be seen at all. It is clearly evident by reading the purport where action ends. Very clearly evident. Purport, you see the first line of the purport. The Lord now concludes the chapter of instruction on the immutable spirit soul. So the Lord now concludes the chapter of instruction on the immutable spirit soul. And then later part of the portion basically summarizes all the points very nicely. Prabhupada has summarized all the points in this section from verse number 11 to 30th. So in this way, this section we end this. So now we will go to the next section. What we had given title of the section. Following Swadharma always brings happiness. Okay. Coming to verse text 31. Swadharmam api chaveksha navi kampitum arhasi narmadhi yudhashe yonya kshatriyasya navidyate. Considering your specific duty, swadharma api chaveksha, as a kshatriya, you should know that there is no better engagement, shreyonyat, for you than fighting on the religious principles, and so there is no need for hesitation. So, So this verse begins with this swadharma word here. Swadharmam api chaveksha navi kampitum arhasi. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about two kinds of swadharmas. One is when we are not conditional dharma and constitutional dharma. These two terms will be again Prabhupada later. These are not used in this purport, but he uses them in the later, in 2.47, I think. Yeah. So he will use that these two terms. So swadharma is divided into two. One is constitutional and conditional. So when we are not liberated, still in conditioned state, along with our constitutional dharma, we should also execute conditional dharma. So here we come to the point of necessity. What is this dharma? Dharma means varnashram dharma, conditional, constitutional. Conditional dharma means. So here the necessity of varnashram dharma comes. So necessity of why we need to implement varnashram dharma in the society, or within our own institution, why we need to implement varnashram dharma. So varnashrama is a dharma unconditional, swadharma unconditional platform. So why it is conditional, swadharma unconditional platform? Because it purifies our conditional nature and makes us eligible for taking to our constitutional dharma, or it creates a foundation or a platform wherein we can execute our constitutional dharma more easily and in a more better way. Therefore varnashram dharma is a swadharma unconditional platform. So as long as one is not liberated, one has to follow that along with our constitutional dharma. Constitutional dharma means jivera swarupa hoy krishnera nityadas. Jiva is an eternal servant of Krishna. Therefore Krishna consciousness is So original constitutional muktir hitvānata rūpam sarūpena vyavasthitihi. So being situated in our original position is called as mukti. So that is liberated state. That is our constitutional position. Now we are in bound state, conditional state. So this is swadharma and conditional state and swadharma and liberated state. So in this, these two swadharmas are there. Now as long as we are not liberated from bodily conception of life, one has to execute swadharma on bodily platform also, unconditional platform also, along with constitutional position. So this is the necessity of implementing varnashram dharma within our institution as well as in broader society. So now you see, just to understand this more better, often this is a big hot issue even in present ISKCON. So many devotees feel that why we need varnashrama. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told naham vipro. There are two verses of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu which are counter quoted for not establishing varnashrama. You know those two verses? Anyone knows? Two verses, famous. Tell.
Naham vipro na cha narpatir na grihastho.
Nahi. Naham vipro na cha narpatir na pi vaisho na shudro naham varni cha grahapati na vanastho na yathirva kintu prodhyan nikila paramananda purna mritabdir gopir parthur padakamalayor dasa dasana dasa. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling, what is my identity? What is our identity? Naham vipro, I am not a brahmana, I am not a kshatriya, I am not a shudra, I am not a vaishya. All no. Eight no's. Not a sannyasi. Now of course in modern days we have more identities. I am engineer, I am doctor, I am this, I am that. So I am a geese. What is that? I am a geese. Geese, what they say? IT professionals are called as geese or something. Geek. Oh, sorry. I am a geek. Geek or goose or geek. Goose. You know goose? There is a bird. Goose, you know? Okay, good. They should be shown pictures so that they are aware. Anyway, so I am not this. What I am then? I am servant of Lord of the Gopis, he says. So this verse specifically talks about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, I am beyond all these eight, you know, things. I am aloof from, indifferent to these eight aspects of Varnashrama, eight identities of Varnashrama. And then another famous quote is, "E hoy bhai arakhoye rai." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda, what is Sadhya Sadhana Tattva? Sadhya Sadhana Tattva means, what is the ultimate goal of life and how to attain that? What is the means to attain that? That is sadhana. Sadhya is ultimate goal. Like idlis are made. So we are hungry. We want to go and eat idli. That is our goal of life. And whatever you do until you put your idli in the mouth, that is what means to attain that goal. You collect your plate, go and wash, sit in a position, somebody comes and serves you, then you break that with your hand, then put it in the mouth. That is sadhana. Until you put it in your mouth. You attain the goal when you put your mouth. That is sadhya. Got it? Clear? What is sadhya and what is sadhana? Sadhana is goal, ultimate goal of life. And sadhya is ultimate goal of life. And sadhana is means to attain that. So I gave example of, what example I gave? Idli. Prasadam. So clear? Sadhya sadhana tattva. What is sadhya sadhana tattva? So Ramanandraya asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Ramanandraya, so worshipping Lord Vishnu by following the Varnashrama Dharma, he said, and he quoted the verse. I think he quoted one or two verses, I don't know. Varnashrama Charita Purushena Parapuman Vishnu Raradhate Panta and Atapumbir Dvijasreshta Varnashrama. I think he quoted that Vishnu Purana verse. Varnashrama Charita Purushena Parapuman. So in this way, when you speak something, you have to give evidence, right? That is discussion in scholarly circles. In scholarly circles, in 17th chapter, 15th verse, Prabhupada writes, whenever they speak, they give evidence from Shastric sources. So immediately quoted that verse. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Ye ho bhai ar kaira." This is external. Tell something more, he said. So this is given as example for no need of varnashrama for devotees. Like that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he analyzed this in his explanation in Bhaktialoka. Bhaktialoka is a, originally he wrote some 12 articles, series of articles on first, second and third verses of Sri Upadeshamrita, book by, you should drink carefully. Everyone should be taught how to drink water. Because what they do is when they are drinking, that from the mouth it falls down everywhere. So carefully drink, little you drink. Okay. So coming back to point. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote a series of articles on first, second and third verses of Sri Upadesha. You know what are the second and third verses of Sri Upadeshamrita? Sri Upadeshamrita. Prabhupada has translated that and commented on that as book. What is that book? Name of the book? The Nectar of Instruction. That is Sri Upadeshamrita. What is this Sri Upadeshamrita? What is this Sri Upadeshamrita? It is 11 verse book written by Srila Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada, it was written in Sanskrit and he translated it into English and wrote purports on that. That is the Nectar of Devotion. Nectar of Instruction, sorry. So, second and third verses. What are the second and third verses? Atyahara prayasasya prajalpo niyamagraha janasangasya laulamsha shadvir bhaktir vinashati. And third? Utsaha nishaya dhairya tatat karma pravartana sangatyago satovratir shadvir bhaktir vinashati. You all can memorize that book first. It's so nice. Just 11 hours. Those 11 verses are like 11 jewels. In Europe, they conducted a research. Which book is most well received from the audience point of view? So those were buyers, you know. So they all told this, Sri Upadeshamrita. The Nectar of Instruction, that means in English. So that is most well received book, even from secular audience. So very nice book, very deep, just in 11 verses it takes from very basic platform up to the highest level where one cannot imagine to attain that level. So it takes us from basic level, means even below bhakti level it is. And other like below bhakti level, what is there? Karma yoga, jnana yoga and ashtanga yoga is there. So it is not even bhakti level. From bhakti, it doesn't start from bhakti, it is below bhakti, it starts from below bhakti and then takes us to highest platform. Anyway, coming back, so he wrote series of lectures because there are six unfavorable items and six favorable items mentioned in those two verses of Sri Upadeshamrita. So on each of these items he wrote one article. Total how many articles it will be? So 12 articles. So later those articles were published as a book called Bhaktyaloka. That is Bhaktyaloka. So that is Bhaktyaloka, written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So in Bhaktyaloka, when he was explaining Satovrati, Satovrati means Vrati, our Vrati, occupation should be Sat. So Satovrati, that is conducive for, favorable for devotional service, he says. So Vrati means occupation and lifestyle. Now the presently occupations in the world are demonic. We all know. Prabhupada called it as technology as demonic. Everything is centered around technology and industrial civilization. So occupations are demonic. Why demonic they are? Occupations are demonic. Why technology is demonic? Prabhupada said. Why technology is demonic? You see how it is connected to 16th chapter. Industrial society is connected to 16th chapter.
It increases the knowledge that I am the master. I am the controller.
Yeah, basically it is the basis of atheistic civilization, and it is not system, social system given by Krishna. Social system given by Krishna is Varnashrama. So therefore it takes us far away from Krishna. Because we will be leading such a lifestyle which will not help us to remember Krishna. So it will take, like, you know, occupation and bhakti becomes different there. Another major point which often Prabhupada, he quoted from 16th verse is, he says, no, demons, by following bogus, perverted philosophies, that verse begins, what is it? Asatyam apratishtam te jagadahuranishwaram jagadahuranishwaram paraspara sambhutam kim manyat kamahitukam. So these are atheistic philosophies. All atheistic philosophies are summarized in this one verse. We don't have to study what is Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins is already mentioned here in this verse. So all the whatever atheistic philosophies will come in the future, which have come in the past, all are there in this one verse. So after this verse says that by following such ideologies of life, atheists create they do such works which are unbeneficial to the world, unbeneficial to the society, and which are very severe and painful, and which are meant for destroying the world. Kriyante ugra karmano kshayayo jagato hitaha, like that Krishna says. Ugra karmano, severe, painful work it is. These idiots, they are so dull, they think that technology is comfortable. They think, we are making life comfortable, and it is they advertise. Is working in the night is comfortable? Which in Vedic society, just in 30-40 years back, even in India, no one imagined that all these donkeys will be working in the night. No one, even donkeys take rest, I think. These are worse than donkeys now. They are so degraded. Donkeys also take rest, no? Animals, as soon as evening comes, cows, animals, bulls, everyone comes, take rest, no? Right? So these fellows, they don't have even time to take rest. As soon as bulls, you take bulls. When there is no work, immediately they sleep. If they are not eating and not working, immediately they take rest. These idiot fellows, they are so worse than animals that they don't have time to even... This is their advancement of civilization. This is their advancement of civilization. This is... What is advancement? It is, progress or degress, Prabhupada used to tell. Dog is running on four legs and you are running on four wheels. What is the difference? He said. You are competing with the dogs, he says. This is dog civilization, dog's race, he says. Anyway, this is severe, painful work it is. And so many thousand, these guys advertise cool drive, smooth drive, not cool drive, smooth drive. And to make that, just to... drive. That driving is also not so easy. It is, you have to always change the gears, push with your leg. Always legs and hands should be always active. Is it a comfortable thing? It is. Driving is comfortable. Is it smooth? It is. And on that fighting traffic, so much struggle, you know. From backside, always the horn should be pumping. It will be in anxiety. Oh, what will happen now? Next moment, I have to push on, pull on. So this is not comfort. It is those who have sattvic intelligence, those who think, see clearly, they can understand how miserable it is. Driving is not easy thing. It is. It's miserable. It is. And everyone experiences after driving, right? Anyone is happy after driving? So their backache, they will become so tired. And because of such tiredness, still in their mode of passion, they go on and drive, and then they doze while driving and then hit another vehicle or some road, or just go off the road or something like that. So this is what happens. So this is all, and to set up all this small so-called smooth drive, they have to set up some 1,000 factories to make that automobile, build big roads, dams, bridges, so many things. And centered around this thing only, you know, they have to bring all the people into city, put up everyone into all this, build big skyscraper buildings, and arrangement for their water, food, so many things, cooking, LPG, petrol, everything, one after the another, you know, so many things. This is severe, painful Ugra Karma it is. But still they are in so much tamoguna, so much ignorance, they think that this is enjoyment. And this is, no, not the enjoyment, this is civilization, advancement they call it as. It is of a digress, it is. It is more fallen than, worse than animals, but they think that it is very advanced. This is tamoguna. You know, no? We will discuss later a little bit in Bhagavad Gita, how tamoguna, they accept right as wrong, truth and untruth, dharma as adharma, and advancement as progress, you know, digress as progress. So this is what is tamoguna, it is intelligence. So such ugra karma, painful endeavor, and it is always they do work, unbeneficial work for other society. Anyone is doing any beneficial work, so called philanthropical work is also what? It is unbeneficial ultimately. Society. Now, none of the politicians, they promise so many things. Scientists also promise so many things. But Thomasic or Richard Dawkins thinks that, oh, science has given a better lifestyle. Medical technology, medical science, advancement, people are leading healthy life. Like that he says. Whole tsunami of all this, you know, he was telling about this Vamsi Krishna's, how he, you know, treatment and health. Whole such young boys are getting such kind of diseases, and these guys think that, oh, we are leading healthy life. So many new diseases just are flooding the society. So we all know our grandparents and all lived healthy life. They lead a longer life. So right, your grandfather is better than your father. No, your father is always suffering from some problem, you know, his leg problem. It is not curing only from years together, right? At least I am seeing that, at least from 1 year, right? So, and you are more thinner than your father now. So all these things are, his father is so short and strong, and this fellow is so lean and thin. He's not growing only, that is only shorter. So, right? So these Nepalibas are a little bit good, they are strong. They don't know much technology.
They are not so advanced.
They are not.
According to material.
They are real advanced. Their mind and body is strong, right? Or not? That is advancement, right? So, anyway, coming back to our point, that this is modern society is a demonic society, which we have to be convinced about it. So, therefore, it will not help us to become Krishna conscious, God conscious. So, simple example, if you ask people from where the milk is coming, some new small child, you ask, you know, go. Because they are not seen cow only, right or not? They will say that it is coming from dairy, you know, right? So what happens? What is the point here? Because the whole environment is artificially, you know, it is all so artificial, you know. Like that copper, Prabhupada used to, English poet, Prabhupada used to quote, English poet copper. Copper, he says, cities are made by man and country is made by God, he says. So because it is there in the countryside, we will be directly dependent on God, God's nature. So in this way, remembrance of God or becoming God conscious becomes very easy. So therefore, we should not be part of this modern society. So that will not make us, help us in becoming God conscious. It will take us away from God conscious. This is as a, in a broader sense. So individually, if you take, if we think that according to those verses which generally devotees quote, Yaho Bhai and Dasa Dasa and Dasa. If you go according to them, we are all liberated souls. We don't need, no need of purification of our conditional nature. So then why devotees are getting married then? This is a very strong argument it is. Why devotees are getting married? Just live, no? Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy, right? Right, why? This is a very strong argument. Can anyone argue on this point? So why you are getting married then? Why you are getting married? Just chant Hare Krishna and just go on. No? So, therefore, you have material desire. You have nature to eat. That means you understand. You have nature of eating. You want food. You want sense gratification. So you cannot remain without eating. So then there is need for grahasthashrama. Grahasthashrama means as soon as you talk about grahasthashrama, immediately varnashrama comes. Because it's a part of varnashrama. Right? Who can argue on this point? So in this way, we need a varnashrama system, proper varnashrama system. So, this verse purport Prabhupada is talking about necessity of varnashrama. Two kinds of swadharmas are there. And varnashrama is dharma, swadharma on bodily platform until we are liberated. So, and in fact Prabhupada is writing, human civilization begins from the stage of varnashrama dharma. Now, I told, why you are getting married? Okay, I will not get married. Then what he will do? He will become a debauchee. That is a simple thing, right? Then he is not even human being then. He is lower than human being. Hogs and dogs, they don't care. Just they will search a stool here and there, eat and become strong and jump on another she-hog. That's, they don't have any marriage system. They don't have any regulated life. You have to have a regulated sense gratification. So that is animal civilization. So, this is the point. Therefore, varnashrama is required. So if you want to regulate human nature, purify the conditional nature, varnashrama is required. Of course, our main process is chanting Hare Krishna. But if we are so tormented by material desires that we are not able to chant Hare Krishna properly, then why not utilize this system along with our chanting? Chanting is constitutional. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. It is constitutional dharma. So in this way, necessity of varnashrama dharma. Therefore, in that purport he writes, Bhakti Vinod Thakur in that Bhakti Aloka, Sadhana Kale Paryante, until we are doing Sadhana Kala. Sadhana Kala means until we have attained prema, when we are doing sadhana bhakti, we need varnashram dharma. So then what is the hope of a brahmachari to stay away, brahmachari throughout life? That question may come. So in Brahmachari book, Maharaj mentioned therein that staying as a brahmachari, staying as a brahmachari, there is one chapter, no? Right? So there he mentions that a devotee should have, a brahmachari should have strong desire to, he should have, his desire to serve Guru should be stronger than his material desires. It's, we all, hopefully, means you all agree with me that we all have material desires, at least I have some, lots of material desires. If our desire to, so we have to make our desire to serve Guru and Krishna stronger. So, in ISKCON, to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission, desire to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission should be stronger than our material desires. Then we'll be able to stay as a brahmachari throughout life, like that Maharaj he mentions there. Basically, if you want to analyze that philosophically, so our sadhana should be so strong that it should suppress our material nature, and so if it is weak, then our material nature becomes prominent. Material nature, you understand material nature, so our conditioning, our svabhava, that becomes prominent, and then you have to get married. Brahmachari has to get married. So then he has to accept, you know, that procedure of so purification through varnashram, right or not? So that's why we have to maintain very good sadhana standard, so that our material nature is suppressed. Not just suppressing, like in third chapter, what is the use of suppression, Krishna says. In Bible also there is some saying like that, by Jesus. Better to get married than suppressing, something like that, Jesus. So, the point comes is that, so, yeah, sadhana should be so strong. It's not just suppressing, it suppresses, eventually it purifies, you know, sadhana, whatever sadhana we do, it should purify eventually. But at least in the beginning, it should suppress it. The sadhana should. It should not, like I'll give you some example. Sometime, you know, we become angry and suddenly burst out. So that is what it is. Mode of ignorance is there, it is. That suddenly sometimes bursts out, you know. So by our good sadhana, that should be suppressed. And eventually it should be purified. Just if we keep it suppressed also will not help. Eventually one day it will, what will happen? It will, you know that spring, you know, spring. You push that spring up, down, and suddenly once you little bit you loosen it, then jumps up. So what is good sadhana? The question comes, you know, now, right? If you have good sadhana, what happens? Our material nature gets suppressed and eventually gets purified. What is good sadhana now? The question comes, question arises. Good sadhana means completely following full morning program, without becoming spaced out in between. Famous example for that is Priya Govinda's presently. What to do? I'm trying to reduce my things. So we should not become spaced out in between here and there. We should develop habit of just staying in the temple in that time, from morning 4:30 to till whatever 9 o'clock, whatever. We should become conditioned to that. So not becoming spaced out in between here and there, go here and there, chant separately in dark somewhere where no one is sleeping, whether you are sleeping or chanting, cheating or chanting. So no one knows, right or not. So if we are If we are in the temple hall, then we will be, somebody will be wake us up, Prabhu, so please chant like that. No? Someone will wake us up. So, and trying to complete our rounds as early as morning possible. Of course, sometimes services, we should not give less importance to service. Sometimes what happens, we go into that, oh, why to chant, complete my rounds in the morning. Then we neglect service. Morning service is like, you know, especially pujaris and all, they have to dress the deities in the morning. That is the time when everyone is sitting at japa, they have to do their service. Cooking, those who are going for cooking. But overall, we should try our, and that's why Maharaj wrote that, oh, they should get up before Mangalati and chant their rounds, he said. That is good sadhana, he writes. So, but we have to see the health consideration long term also. But our tendency should be towards that. And not talking while japa, chanting japa. Receiving calls, nowadays mobile has contributed a lot in that. Advancement of our sadhana, mobile has contributed. So, no need to keep the phone should be, anyway here it is not problem, in outside the people they use a lot of phones. So they should just switch off by 7 o'clock in the night so that they peacefully sleep early in the night. And then they can open in the 9 o'clock after doing sufficient sadhana in the morning, you know. So, like that we have to plan our life sadhana. And for brahmacharis, so morning program, evening program. So, if you attend, that is good sadhana, very nicely. Daily and, you know, day after day, you know, week after week, month after month, year after year. If you do follow this standard of sadhana, then what happens? So Maharaj writes there in the Brahmacharya book, those devotees who follow this standard, they become deep in Krishna consciousness. They go deep in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we will remain in superficial platform. External platform. Very superficial we will be. So, we can see what is superficial means. We see that their talk would be loose, behavior would be loose. So their consciousness would be completely loose, thought process. So that is a symptom of very being on superficial platform. They make everything joke. Everything joke there. Whole life is joke only, whole morning to evening. Joke. So nowadays lectures are also joke now. Although we have so sober philosophy, deep philosophy, entertaining, showy, joking lectures. So our philosophy is very sober. Prabhupada told that in one. He wrote to some devotees in Australia saying how to perform drama, he said. One person can become Sanatana Goswami, one person can become Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they can read from our TLC book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya book. That is drama, he says. So don't, don't make it, entertaining or what is that? Especially, basically, he didn't want to message to be diluted. Says he particularly mentioned, our process is sober, our message is, our philosophy is sober, he says. Like that. So, anyway, coming back to the point. So, this will help us to stay throughout our life. Stay as a brahmachari throughout our life. So, it's a fact. Everyone is a brahmachari, is not a teacher. He is a student. We don't have, people may say, why you are hypocritical? Why you are pretender? Why you are... Generally, they may think like that, people may. Let them think. So, brahmachari is a student. He is learning how to control senses. And sannyasi is supposed to be teacher. He has conquered over senses. That's why he is Swami or Goswami, right? He has conquered over. So, we don't expect that brahmachari is to be, right? That free from all material desires. You joined ashram overnight, you became completely sadhu. So you have to struggle, fight. One should not give a fighting spirit. Prabhupada says, we have declared war against Maya, he says. Even if you fail, no problem. In the battlefield, some soldiers will die, they will collapse. No problem. You tried, no? Krishna likes that, appreciates that. Our fighting spirit against Maya, Krishna, he loves that. So, that is life. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in that Vaishnava song book, Vaishnava K, that song he says, one who has life, he preaches like that. So that fighting spirit should be there. War against Maya, material desires, our modes of nature, influence of mode. Maya will always try to pull, you know, pull you down, push you down, and just smash you down again and again, again and again, again and again. We have to hold Krishna's lotus feet very tightly. Holding Krishna's lotus feet very tightly means what? Not to give up our vows, not to give up association of devotees. That is the meaning of holding Krishna's feet tightly. So then Maya will not come here. One day all Maya will become insignificant just in front of you. Initially she will trouble. When she understands that you are all serious, then she will give up. So this is a way to stay. This is meaning of sadharma. So anyway, here necessity of, we went a little bit of, it's not off topic, but it is connected. It is a sub-point, sub-theme, staying as a brahmachari. So coming back to necessity of varnashram, sadharma, two kinds of dharma, sadharma. So Prabhupada says, there are two kinds of sadharmas, specific duties. As long as one is not liberated, one has to perform the duties of his particular body in accordance with religious principles in order to achieve liberation. When one is liberated, one swadharma, specific duty, becomes spiritual and is not in material bodily concept. In the bodily conception of life, there are specific duties for the brahmanas and kshatriyas respectively. And these duties are unavoidable. Such swadharma is ordained by the Lord. It is unavoidable. It is ordained by the Lord. It is. And this will be clarified in the fourth chapter of. So these are all, you know, so clear, so deep points. These are all. And this is all there. On the bodily plane, swadharma is called varnashram dharma, or man's stepping stone for spiritual understanding. Human civilization so begins from the stage of varnashram dharma, specific duties in terms of spiritual modes of nature of the body obtained. Discharging one specific duty in any field of action in accordance with the orders of higher authority serves to elevate one to a higher status of life. Now, you see, if you read this purport, paragraph of this purport, just one purport, it is so clear and it is fully very deep, and there is no, he doesn't leave, so absolute, you know, he is making absolute statements here. So it just doesn't leave any doubt at all. But still, many of our devotees, they are so confused. Oh, why we need Varnashrama? So confused. This is in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavad Gita is ABCD. That shows that our devotees, they did not even learn ABCD of Krishna consciousness. So ABCD of Krishna consciousness. So it is risky to hold positions within ISKCON without understanding these simple facts, you know. So, because, you know, so it becomes difficult for our followers. So coming back now, so he says, this is swadharma. Swadharmam api chaveksha. Navikampitum arhasi. There is no better than that. So dharmadi yudya shreyonyat kshatriyasya na vidyate. Dharmadi yudya. Dharmadi yudya. What is the meaning of dharmadi yudya? Fighting on religious principles. So yesterday we were discussing about fighting on religious principles. You know, jihad, Taliban, now Islamic State. They are also fighting on religious principles. They claim like that, at least. So yesterday I made a point that how... So there should be direct sanction by the Lord. For that. Like for Arjuna, now there is direct sanction. Sanction is there. By Krishna. then only that is fighting on religious principles. If there is no direct sanction by the Lord, it cannot be religious principle, because religious principles are given by God Himself, Krishna Himself. So if there is no direct sanction by the Lord, so there is no question of war, fighting on religious principles. It is whimsical, capricious, violence it is. So now we may say that, so in Varnashrama system, Kshatriya fighting, how it is based on religious principles? So Lord Krishna would not be there all the time to sanction that, right? Now in front of Arjuna, Krishna is personally present there to sanction that war. But not every time there will be, you know, Krishna to sanction it. So now some terrorist may attack here. Naxalite, this area previously was Naxalite affected area it was. Now Naxalite may come here to attack, because eventually there will be no food and you are following Varnashrama, you will be growing food. So then they will come and try to take away everything. Then what we should do? So what Bhaskar will do that time? He will shoot one arrow to them and kill them. What he will do? Or shoot them with a gun? That also one point, we should have gun here actually. Bow and arrow is not work now. Bow and arrow also we should have actually. Some traditional methods of protection also we should learn. Kallari patu should be taught, I think. So it is good for self-preservation, no? Self-preservation, protection, self-protection. For self-protection it is good, no? Kallari patu. One-to-one. So our Gokula boys should be trained in that. And gun should be there. Gun should be. Last time we in a Gurukula Varnashram meeting, this was one point. Every project should have a gun like that is. Mara said. So in the new Vrindavan they always had gun actually. There were always attacks. Even when Prabhupada was there, that time only attacks were there, new Vrindavan project. So they used to come, attack, take away cows. So try to destroy the temple, so many things. So like that. In one letter Prabhupada writes, after the one attack, how many Brahmanas gave away their life to save the cows, like that is. Prabhupada writes. So in this way, so this has to be there. Anyway, who will sanction that? Devotees should protect the cows, right or not? We have to give up their life. Brahmanas used to give up their life to protect their life, cows. Because Brahmanas will set example, no? Then only Kshatriyas and Vaishyas will follow. In general, general work will be done by them, but ideologically they will. So they will inspire them to do that. By their preaching and by their example. So who will sanction that? Some of the ISKCON Brahmanas, they made bombs to throw on slaughterhouses. This happened in one Prabhupada was there personally. And while making that bomb got blasted and they died. Two or three of devotees, I think. They died or got injured, I don't remember now. But this happened. So, Prabhupada, he did not encourage that. That is not our point. That is Jain way of protecting cows. So, we will preach Krishna consciousness. Part of that will be cow protection. So, we have to preach to grahasthas to protect cows, take care of cows and all those things. And we have to preach about farming. And this Daiva Varnashrama, Sattvic way of lifestyle, take people away from demonic life, right or not? Not Jain way of, nowadays Jain way of co-production has come within ISKCON now. Collect funds and keep the cows like that. Because that funds itself is earned by slaughtering the cows actually. Or supporting the cow slaughter. If not directly slaughtering, by supporting cow slaughter. That funds, money itself is earned by like that. So like that. Anyway, coming to the point, who will sanction? Now question comes. So what we discussed, we were discussing about hearing Bhagavad Gita directly from Krishna. You know, we were discussing on that point, right? We had a section in introduction to Bhagavad Gita when we were doing Bhagavad Gita. What I was telling, when we hear that, oh, Krishna is the original speaker of Bhagavad Gita and Arjuna is the original student, like I was saying, we get inspired, oh, we want to hear directly from Krishna, like that. Right? I gave some examples of that, you know, that kind of desire may come. What examples I gave? Two examples I gave. Krishna blowing conch shell, what happened by hearing that sound of conch shell, and Krishna playing on the flute. So similarly, now how we can hear Bhagavad Gita directly? Tell. How we can hear Bhagavad Gita directly? Huh? Yeah, that is about sound of conch shell and flute. What Bhagavad Gita? Of course, Bhagavad Gita is also there in Hare Krishna Mantra. But we are talking about hearing Bhagavad Gita directly. So in parampara, from a spiritual master or a devotee who is coming in parampara, in disciplic succession. Prabhupada says, no, this is the mystery of Vyasa Prasadat. Sanjay told, by the mercy of Vyasa, I could hear Krishna directly. Pratyaksham, that word comes there. Sakshat, no, sorry, not pratyaksham. Sakshat word comes there. Directly I heard from Krishna, he says. So similarly, now spiritual master or a devotee who is coming in parampara will sanction on behalf of the Lord. So then that fight would be on religious principles. On the guidance of the spiritual master. According to the guidance of the spiritual master. So now, do they have any parampara system? That question comes, right? Jihadis, Taliban, Islamic State, do they have parampara system? They say Prophet Muhammad is the last prophet, like that then. So they don't have parampara system. So they don't have guru, they don't have parampara system. So still, there are preachers among them, definitely there is no doubt in that. But still, so this parampara system is very, very important, which will, then it becomes dharma, yudha, dharma, dharmadhi yudha shreyonyata. Kshatriyasya navidyate. For a kshatriya, fighting on the religious platform of religious principle is best, shreya. Now this word shreya, you see, in 1.31, Arjuna was talking about Shreya. Nacha, what is that? Nacha Shreyo no Pashami Hatva Svajana Mahave. I don't see any Shreya in this fight. As though he knows what is Shreya. He doesn't know Shreyas, but he is talking about Shreya. Right? So, Shreya. So, only just making show of knowing the ultimate goal of life. So he is making show of, show bottle. So he is, and then he realized, like in 2.7 Purport Prabhupada says, Arjuna could understand, being intelligent, Arjuna could understand like that Prabhupada writes. Being intelligent, then he understood that I am just beating around the bush. You understand, no? Beating around the bush without any result. Ultimately, I will not be able to understand and solve what I have to do. So therefore, better let me surrender to Krishna. And he surrendered to Krishna and he asked, what is Shreya for me? Now Krishna is telling, this is Shreya for you. as a kshatriya, dharmadhi yudhya shreyonyat kshatriyasya na vidyate. For a kshatriya, there is no better than that. And Prabhupada here is quoting, you see, there is a two verses he has quoted. In religious law books, he says. In religious law books means what? So, books means, it is, these verses are not from one book only, it is from two books. So the first verse is from Manusamhita 7.80 and second one is from Mahabharata 3.199.93. Manusamhita says, Ahavesha mitonyonyam jigam sato mahikshiraha yuddhamana param shaktya swargamyanti apran mukaha yadneshu pashavo brahman hanyante satatam vijaye samskrita akila mantraishya tepi swargam avapnuyan. So before that Prabhupada also he tells what is the meaning of kshatriya. He defines kshatriya. Kshat means heart. And kshatriya means one who gives protection from harm is called kshatriya. Kshatriyas are trained for killing in the forest. A kshatriya would go into the forest and challenge a tiger face to face and fight with the tiger with his sword. He will not fight with chicken and goats. He will fight with tiger. That is kshatriya. So Prabhupada was asking, what our kshatriyas present day leaders, ministers, what they practice? Kings, present day presidents, prime ministers, they only practice drinking cigarettes, that's all. That is their practice. But traditionally, kshatriyas used to practice fighting wild, ferocious animals. Then they develop that mood of fighting. They loved fighting. Fighting flows in their blood actually. Now half of the army is required to protect these idiot Sudras sitting as presidents, prime ministers. In the safe chamber, sitting in safe chamber. And poor soldiers would be fighting on the battlefield there. On the line of, what is that? Line of control. You know, front line. So this is nonsense it is. This is low class fellows. Very low class. So this is not a proper socials. These guys will not be able to protect. These guys will not be able to protect citizens. So nowadays in the world scenario you see that all these idiot rascals have become presidents and prime ministers in most of the countries. If you see now, presently there is a fight going on in Middle East in relation with this Islamic State. People are fighting against Iran and Syria, those countries. And there is one fight going on between Ukraine and some rebels within Ukraine, that is in Eastern Europe. So Eastern Europe, just next to that border of Ukraine is just next to border of that Russia. And Western Front is saying that it is all these rebels in Ukraine are supported by Russia. So therefore they are demonizing Putin. Putin is the president of Russia. So, and they want to support Ukraine. So America, Britain are all supporting Ukraine. And they are supporting this Iran and Syria against Islamic State. So then what happens? Whatever policy America makes, that becomes the norm. And Americans are just fallen people. They are all demons actually. You know, Barack Obama or Bush, they are just demons, you know. They are not devotees of the Lord. So then might becomes right. So these are all problems with these so-called Shudras taking the position of all these Shudras in other countries. They are also Shudras, basically. Thieves, rogues, they are also in America. So, but these other presidents who are very weak, they will take shelter of those bigger rogues and thieves. And ultimately, the point is the exploitation of citizens. Or I was telling, no, how just for economical stability and just to maintain the domestic fees, they will create some international calamity. So, because you know, who will be, which citizen will be happy with this socio-economic system? So much ugra karma, so much suffering, misery and trouble. Work, 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 whole life just for nothing actually. Just work, 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 just take loan and just work for banks. And day and night for the banks and these industries. Which citizen will be happy with such a socio-economic system? They will just rebel and shoot these guys. But just to keep that, you know, them, keep them just, you know, pacified. So government is something great work. Oh, their country, you know, protecting the country. So therefore, Americans will always create some calamity time to time, time to time, time to time in the world. So all these Islamic State people, where they are getting arms? To fight against Iran and, you know, Syria and all, where they are getting? Where the rebels are getting? Getting the arms. This is all given by this. Economically developed countries only. So they are getting their arms from there only. Right? In this way. So it's all just a game, roundabout game it is. So this is what happens. And the result of what is that? These leaders play this game. And who are the one who will be affected by this? Who are the one who would be suffering for this? That is common man. General mass, they will be suffering. So much war, shooting, bombing, blasting. So who will undergo this? They will be sitting in safe chamber and the citizens will suffer for that. So in this way, world is ruled by demons. So we should be understood. When we talk about from the Vedic scriptures and from Bhagavad Gita, when we talk about demons, asuras, we should not think that they will have 10 heads like Ravana or some thorn. Not thorn, what is that? Horn. Some horn on the head or some, you know, some, what is that? Some, tusk. From their, coming from their mouth, they will be eating cannibals, eating the human beings, just swallowing, drinking the blood like putana. So, demons means it can be anyone. It can be Obama, it can be Modi, not can be, they are. So, it can be your neighbor, it can be your relatives, or you yourself. This is too much. If you want to read, there is one article in BTG, old BTG, Demons Amongst Us. So, that was the BTG before. This is how it was written. It can be American president, it can be anyone like that. So that was the BTG that time. Now BTG has all changed now. Demon summons us. So very nice article. You can read that. I think it was written by Satsang Maharaj or Dhritakarma Prabhu, one of them. Very strong. Very strong. Just openly, you know, attacking modern civilization. Another article was Moon landing, a 21st century big hoax, you know? Like that, you know, very nicely articles. And one article by Dhritakarma Prabhu was titled, what was that? It was about just this Cold War or something like that. Some issue had come in between there in the news, and he wrote about that. Why not these rascals just go and shake hand and solve the problem amongst them? Why citizens have to, like that? They will write like that. Anyway, coming back to Dharma, the Yudhya Shreya, this is Shreya. Fighting is Shreya. So here Krishna is answering that. Coming. So Kshatriyas trained for killing in the forest. A Kshatriya would. So our boys are now learning this by killing some snake and jerrys, centipedes. Alright. Our Damodar and Kunjibiyari, they were searching centipedes and scorpions. They will remove that what? Brick and kill them. Search and kill. Nice. Sometime you all can take time out of like that. This is training. Actually, we think a lot about education. It's so natural if you are in that kind of environment. So that's why we keep sticks here and there. As soon as cobra comes, we should jump on that and beat it, finish it. Kunjigari, right or not? So, a kshatriya would go in the forest and challenge a tiger face to face and fight with the tiger with his sword. When the tiger was killed, he would be offered the royal order of cremation. What a culture, what a rich culture it is, right? This system has been followed even up to the present day by the Kshatriya kings of Jaipur state. When Prabhupada went there, he went to Prabhupada there. That time the king who was king there. Cooking means, nowadays they don't, you know, this democratic country, they don't have power, this so-called democracy. So, I don't know, somehow they should have fought back against this democracy. Somehow this didn't happen actually. I don't know. They should have, if they have really Kshatriya spirit, they would have fought back against. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I have not read history thoroughly. And nowadays history is not properly presented also. So,
All of these kings had signed an agreement called instrument of accession. So that they voluntarily give up their kingdom. And then they combined.
Yeah. One point is, you see, like Prabhupada is up to date today, means it is, he is talking about it. He wrote this purport in 1968 it was published in book. So he must have written it in 67, 68, like that. And later Prabhupada, after this, when he came to India from America, so he went and met the king in Jaipur. And Jaipur king showed him, these are all the tigers which are killed by me. They are kept there in the exhibition, their bones and all those things. So, and we have seen even in Mysore, I personally have seen Mysore palace, you know. I think now also it must be there, still now. There are tigers there, till now. So Mysore Jew is there, that is different. I am talking about palace where Mysore kings kill the tigers, no? Those tigers are kept still. Means just skin and just, bone. So, in this way, they used to do it till recently. So, coming to the point of that, now how they did not oppose democracy, they signed it. From that I can understand that there were no brahmanas to guide the society, basically. So this should not be done. This democracy is demon crazy. This we should not accept. These guys, they went to this. Ambedkar, he went and it's an issue. If you speak this public, it's an issue. But they will put us in jail only. So they went and he went and copied from England and he brought and put that in democracy here. In England till now, all these queens and kings, they are going on, but they don't have any power at all, right? And they are not really Kshatriya spirit is there at all. And what you can expect if you make a queen, queen. So there should be lion-like kings like Pratu Prabhupada says. If a state which is led by a woman, it's a very unfortunate state. The citizens would be very unfortunate and they will suffer like that is. So, head of the state should be powerful, lion-like king should be there. Nowadays, when you bring this point, people, now this is another point which we have to understand. Because of Nazi exploitation and atrocity by Hitler and others, they don't want a dictatorship. So, but Prabhupada is PR disaster for another reason. You understand PR disaster? Public relation disaster. You know, publicly means he is not so popular for making some statements or. So one reason is that Prabhupada appreciated Hitler. Why? Why he appreciated? He was a cruel demon. There is no doubt in that. He did all atrocities. But the present day leaders are more worse than, just now I had discussion, analyze that whole thing, how they create calamity and how, make the common people to suffer like anything. I was analyzing. So, instead of being exploited by a group of rogues and thieves, better to be exploited by one person, right or not? Dictatorship is better race. So from that point of view, Prabhupada, he appreciated that. Appreciated in the sense he said that it is better to have one dictator than this democracy, group of thieves and rogues, eating the citizens, gobbling the citizens. So bhakshanti word comes, no? Bhakshanti praja, bhakshanti hi prajaha. In Bhagavatam, all these leaders, government leaders, state leaders will be swallowing up, gobbling all the citizens. In the name of tax, they will extract, make them to work. In the name of development, progress, industrialization, just work day and night, that's all. So this will be the condition of the, this is what is democracy is. So, and when, of course, when Prabhupada says dictator means it's not necessary, it should be like dictator like Hitler, you know. So, his idea was establishing Varnashram, train a proper king who is the representative of God, who will establish the law of God, you know. So, he will establish Dharma, such a king. So, these are some thoughts on Kshatriyas. So, Kshatriya mission. The Kshatriyas are specifically trained for challenging and killing because religious violence is sometimes a necessary factor. This is another point. In between, in 2010 and 11, in the beginning of 2011, there was a lot of discussion among our devotees in ISKCON. Oh, we should start a Kshatriya movement within us. They thought themselves as Brahmanas. Without establishing Varnashrama, without establishing Gurukulas, how can you be a Brahmana also? You cannot be a Brahmana. So there was discussion, we should start, and they started training some devotees into, those who are securities in the temple. Security wallahs, in the temple, they started training them into, karate, Kung Fu, all this kind of things, they started training. So they will be our Kshatriya body, they thought of it. But that is not Kshatriya body. So, presently Kshatriya body means they will be fighting court cases, they will be fighting against these demonic, they will be doing non-cooperation movement, they will organize non-cooperation movement against demons. Like Prabhupada mentioned, no? In Chand Kazi case, when constables of Chand Kazi came and stopped Sankirtan, destroyed Mridangas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu organized non-cooperation movement against Chand Kazi. Lakhs of people he took to meet Chand Kazi. And Chand Kazi, by seeing the... Of course, it was peaceful revolution. And Prabhupada appreciated that. Prabhupada, he said, this is non-cooperation movement is not a contribution. Generally, it is in India, it is understood that it is a contribution of Gandhi. But it is not contribution of Gandhi, it is contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is. He did non-cooperation and it was peaceful revolution. Everyone took it was in the evening time. Everyone took mashal in their hand. And there were hundreds and thousands of kartals and mridangas. Everyone loud kirtan they were doing, lakhs of people. And they went to Chand Kaji's house, and as soon as he heard the Chand, so many people are coming, he ran away and went upstairs. So there Prabhupada writes, now the present most of the governments are demonic, and so, just like all the people came together under the banner of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement, presently all the people of the world should come under the banner of this Hare Krishna movement. See, you should wash your hand. Go wash your friend in your hand. Don't touch anything. Pen, everything. Don't touch anything. Don't touch door, anything. Just go and wash. So what I was saying was, coming back to the point. So all the people of the world should come together under the banner of the Hare Krishna movement and do non-cooperation against these demonic governments, he says in the purport. So this is, you know, come under the banner of Hare Krishna movement. This word Hare Krishna movement comes. So Kshatriya will organize this thing. That is Kshatriya mission. And they will have that kind of Shauryam, Tejo, Dhritir, Daksham. So, to do that. But they should be guided by... In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's group also, if you see, there were some people who were really agitated. They wanted to take a weapon and smack down. Then Mahaprabhu said, please be cool, be cool, be cool. Don't lose coolness. Like that. So this is now how to apply this, you know, Kshatriya mission now. This is the mission, Kshatriya mission. So anyway, this system has been followed. Okay, you can do that. Local protection also is fine. That's also okay. But the main, you know, that should be. And another thing they started doing was Dhanam is a quality of a Kshatriya, so we have to do mass food for life. They started that. That is a deviation. The Kshatriya are specially trained for challenging and killing because religious violence is sometimes a necessary factor. Therefore, Kshatriyas are never meant for accepting directly the order of sannyas or renunciation. So, you see here, why he is talking about renunciation? Because in 1.31, he wanted to lead a life of frustration, renounce it. So, it is not good for me. For me, better to I beg and leave. He wants to become Tridandi Bhikshu. Arjuna wanted to become a Tridandi Bhikshu. So, sannyasis are called as Tridandi Bhikshus. Vaishnava sannyasis. This system has been followed. Okay. Meant for directly the order of sannyas or renunciation. Non-violence in politics may be a diplomacy, but it is never a factor or principle. So with this statement is indicating to? Non-violence in politics may be a diplomacy, but it is never a factor or principle. Whom it is indicating to?
Gandhi.
See, yeah, Anna and all. See, now the point is, now you may wonder, see this Gandhi is dead and gone now, 1947 is over now. Why Prabhupada is writing this again and again? Why we have to study this again and again? You should be in a position to guide the politics. How the political system should be. What preaching we will be doing to the politicians. All these points have to be noted. All these points have to be preached. We have to give guidance to them. So, therefore, all these points Prabhupada is putting here in the purport, we have to understand. So, in politics, you should not go and say, oh, we are Shanti, we are sadhus. You all should be sadhus. You should be, Pakistan is attacking you. You should be sadhu. Don't take your arms. Or give half of the arms to them. And with the same half of the arms, they came and killed everyone, attacked India. You know that, no? History. He insisted, Gandhi, he did, I'll fast until I die if you don't give these arms. And the arms were given to Pakistanis and they came they killed so many Hindus and sent with the same arms. So much violence was done. See, he was talking about non-violence and his non-violence created violence. This is Arava Bhaktasya Kuto Mahadguna. Non-devotee of Krishna cannot have any good qualities. He cannot have any good qualities. So non-violence will not be successful, so-called non-violence. It should be, everything should be based on Shastra, based on Dharma, principles of Dharma. When you understand those things from genuine spiritual master. That's why Prabhupada was writing again and again letter to this Gandhi. If Gandhi would have taken to Krishna consciousness and followed Bhagavad Gita properly, if you would have taken training from Srila Prabhupada, then the whole world, face of the world would have been different now because he was such an influential person in the world, right? He had done some agitation in South Africa, England, and he had come to India. So many things he had done all over the world. He was a very influential person. So, that's why he was writing that letter again. So in the religious law books, that means books means two books, Manusamhita and Mahabharata, it is stated, so I read that verse. In the battle, first verse is from Manusamhita and the second verse is from Mahabharata. In the battlefield, a Kshatriya, while fighting another king envious of him, is eligible for achieving the heavenly planets after death, as the Brahmanas also attained the heavenly planets by sacrificing animals in the sacrificial fire. Therefore, killing on the battlefield on religious principles and killing animals in the sacrificial fire are not at all considered to be acts of violence, because everyone is benefited by the religious principles involved. The animal sacrificed gets a human life immediately without undergoing a gradual evolutionary process from one form to another. And the Kshatriyas killed on the battlefield also attain the heavenly planets, as do the Brahmanas who attain them by offering sacrifice. So there are some more quotes from the lecture. Krishna says to Arjuna, there are many things beyond the bodily concept of life, but if you are still thinking that you are in the bodily concept of life, then as a Kshatriya, it is your duty to fight, putting Arjuna in a dilemma. This is this way or that way, you have to fight. If you think that you are not in the bodily concept of life, then it is my order, you must fight. Okay, you are liberated soul, you don't need Varnashrama, but still on my order you do this. Like that is says Krishna. Okay, we accept you, you don't need Varnashrama, but still to set example, you are in the society for setting example, for fulfilling Krishna's Varnashrama mission, follow Varnashrama. Like that we have to tell. If you think that you are in bodily concept of life, then you are a Kshatriya, you must fight. Either way, you have to fight. This is Krishna's conclusion. Right? Very nice. Now I am fighting with the thirst. For a Kshatriya, fighting is a matter of duty. In this context, fighting is not killing. People have no idea about the nature of the soul. Therefore, they think that stopping war will help us establish a peaceful condition in society. When Prabhupada was in West, he went in the West. That time already Vietnam War was going on. And Prabhupada, he just based on Bhagavad Gita, he said, sometime war is necessary. And Americans, you know, everyone is doing agitation against the government for why America, they were not happy with America taking part in this Vietnam War. So it's not that Prabhupada appreciated Vietnam War, of Americans fighting Vietnam. But the point is said, war is necessary sometime. It is inevitable in society. They didn't like it, Americans. The so-called peace, love, peace, idiot nonsense. All sadhu speaking, love, peace. without understanding basic principles of Bhagavad Gita. So such people are liked in the society nowadays. War is one of these items. Even if war is stopped, there is no question of people will live forever. No. That is not the law of nature. Dukalayam ashashvatam. In this life, the problem is how to stop our contact with this material body. It is not that people are thinking, if there is no war, we shall be very happy. How can you stop war with Maya? Maya has declared war with you, right? We were discussing that. Or you have declared with war with Maya. Daivi esha gunamai mama maya durateya. Material nature asks, why are you closing this door? Oh, because it is very cold outside. Who can control the elements? There will be cold, there will be fog, there will be excessive heat. There may be earthquakes. Can we stop them? Stop it? Like an innocent child, we are concerned with immediate problem. But a sane man is concerned with ultimate problem. Our ultimate problem is not this war. The ultimate problem is repetition of birth and death. That is the ultimate problem. How to stop it? So deep, so philosophical. People are world are, you know, just engrossed in petty problems. So, but what about birth, death, old age? In America, people are thinking this is just that is the point. It is hitting on this Vietnam War only. Prabhupada is, you know, so much Americans were so much concerned about this Vietnam War at that time. So this is just petty problem, he says. You cannot stop, even if you stop this war also, you cannot stop birth and death. Or instead, you should focus on solving this problem of birth and death. In 1972, what is that? Because of this war with war against Pakistan war, because, you know, in relation with this Bangladesh. So the reporter is telling, now we are in a dark period, like that enemy has attacked us. Papa said, we are always in dark. Material world is always in dark. No, emergency. Another point, another word was that we are in emergency situation now. So you are always in emergency situation. Death is always waiting in front of you. So clear philosophical analysis. So clear. Who has done like this? So thorough analysis of the social issues. Our ultimate problem is not this war. The ultimate problem is repetition of birth and death. That is the ultimate problem. And how to stop it? Krishna says, this is useless lamentation that you do not wish to fight. It is concluded fact that even though your grandfather or relatives die, they will continue as eternal souls. You must execute your duty. You cannot deviate from your duty. This can be quoted for some other previous verses. Huh? This has misput here, I think. Okay, later we'll change this. So, text 32. Yadrishaya chopapannam vargadvaram apavritam sukina kshatriya partha labante yuddham idrisham. O Partha, happy the kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities come unsought, opening for them the doors of heavenly planets. Yadrishaya chopapannam. Yadrishaya upapannam. On their own accord they have come, fighting opportunities. Now Kurukshetra war, like in first chapter we have read, so all fighters from all over the world they had assembled there. As soon as there is announcement there is war going to take place, then Kshatriyas, they become excited, they become so happy, because now they become so happy because whole life they practice fighting, fighting with tigers, fighting with, you know, lions. And now is the time to exhibit their talents. So, in this way they become very excited because they love fighting. Fighting flows in their blood, in their veins. And sometimes they don't even if you take this, you know, Kurukshetra, they don't even bother which side they are fighting. They just want fight, fight, fight. This is Kshatriya, not these Shudras, idiot, rascals, and low class people are sitting on the presidents. Such a low class fellow there. So, this is here. Swargad. And you see, Swargadvaram apavratam sukina kshatriya partha labante yuddham idrasham. You see here. For them, if they win in the battle and come back, they will get they will enjoy the kingdom. They will enjoy the results of the fight, war, good results of the war. And if they die, then also they are not unhappy. Therefore, they don't bother which side they are fighting, what they are, they just like to fight. So, because if they die on the battlefield, Swargadwaram apavratam, Krishna is telling, opening the door of heaven for them. So in this way they fight. So you see, lack of knowledge of all these things, all these good results of pious activities, lack of knowledge of cosmology and all these principles. So modern day people, they don't have any spirit in their, you know, in their body, in their life. So modern day leaders. So these people were so spirited. So Labante Yudha. So here point is, Arjuna, for him both ways it is win and win situation it is. So, or he is saying that you are a Kshatriya and it is your Swadharma to fight on the religious principles, and Kshatriyas, they become happy when fighting opportunities come, opening the doors of heavenly planets. Basically, he is talking about heavenly planets. Supreme teacher of the world, Prabhupada starts, purports. As a supreme teacher of the world, Krishna. See here, throughout how Krishna is the supreme spiritual master, supreme authority on knowledge is being described. This again and again comes here. Last few, you know, we in the second chapter at least we read so much. Again and again, how he is the supreme spiritual master, the supreme authority on knowledge, and the supreme teacher of the world. Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum, they say, no? Lord Krishna condemns the attitude of Arjuna, who said, I do not find any good in this fighting. It will cause perpetual habitation in hell. So particularly he said, towards the end of the first chapter, he says that such person who destroy the family have to reside eternally in the hell. So he will attain eternal damnation according to Christians and Muslims. But here Arjuna is, Krishna is counteracting that argument. Krishna is telling, you will not go to hell, you will go to heavenly planets. So it will open the door of heaven, he says. Swarga dwaram. Such statements by Arjuna were due to ignorance only. He wanted to become non-violent in discharge of his specific duty. For a Kshatriya to be on the battlefield and become non-violent is a philosophy of fools. So, Gandhi is a fool. So like that, again and again. For a Kshatriya to be on the battlefield, to become non-violent is a philosophy of fools. In the Parashara Smriti, religious code made by Parashara, the great sage and the father of Vyasadeva, it is stated. See, previous verse he quoted Manusamhita and Mahabharata. So, and we one of the points we were discussing, that how Bhagavad Gita is a Dharma Shastra. You see here all these points of Dharma are coming here. And our Acharyas have explained based on quoting other Dharma Shastras, establishing the points of Bhagavad Gita based on other Dharma Shastras. So if we study all Bhagavad Gita thoroughly, we will understand the principles of Dharma also. All Dharma Shastras we will come to know all. There are some 20 Dharma Shastras. You don't have to go to study them. If you want, you can study. There is no wrong in that. And get confused with so many religious principles. This, that, that. So Bhagavad Gita is there, everything. Kshatriyo hi prajarakshan shastra prani pradandayan nirjitya parasainyadi kshitim dharmena palayat. What a verse. The Kshatriya duty is to protect the citizens from all kinds of difficulties. And for that reason, he has to apply violence in suitable cases for law and order. Kshatriyo hi prajarakshan shastra prani pradandayan. So he has to use violence, or shastra means weapons. He has to use weapons. Nirjitya parasainyadi. He has to conquer the soldiers of inimical kings. With religious principles, he should rule the world. Dharmena, kshitim dharmena palayat. This is the point. So we are worried that, oh, your dictator will come and he will do atrocities and exploit the citizens. But if he is dharma palayat, if he is following dharma, what is the problem? So it is a great thing, right? Why to, instead of having so many rogues and thieves, so many appointing, so many ministers, voting so many ministers, low class people, better train one good Kshatriya, right? So therefore he has to conquer the soldiers of inimical kings, and thus with religious principles he should rule the world. Considering all aspects, Arjuna had no reason to refrain from fighting. If he should conquer his enemies, he would enjoy the kingdom. And if he should die on the battlefield, he would be elevated to the heavenly planets, whose doors are wide open to him. Fighting would be the would be for his benefit in either case. So, one quote from the lecture. Krishna says that, you are a kshatriya, your duty is to fight. Dharma di yudhyat. I have arranged this fight on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It is sanctioned by me. Dharma yudha. We were discussing, no? Who will sanction? It is religious fighting. It is not political diplomats declaring war to keep the people in ignorance. When they cannot manage this proper things properly, they engage people in war to divert their ascension. See here, which point which I was making. Prabhupada is saying that in the lecture. So, how the international calamities are created based on this principle, just to keep people's thoughts away. So, our Keshavanand Prabhu, he went, he was, last year he went to preach, he went for a preaching in America, and he just met some people, and he just asked, do you believe that it is done by terrorist, this 9/11? So, then they said, yes, it is done by terrorist. But there are many documentaries which are made which shows that it is done by American government itself. There are so many documentaries, so many people make documentaries like that. So everyone in America believe that it is done by, because of terrorists. But actually it is because of American government. And I was telling now current affairs also I was telling. So, Ukraine. And Islamic State and all. So both ways, this side also they will give arms to these countries and government of those countries, and other side they will give arms to those terrorists also. And in this way, keep playing the game. But war is not meant for that purpose. War is permitted when people are not being properly trained by the king of the state and another king may attack him. In an ideal state, the king must be very responsible. There are many instances. Yudhishthira Maharaj was a pious king. In Bengali, there is a proverb, if the king is not pious, the whole kingdom is spoiled. Similarly, if the housewife is not good, the whole family is spoiled. Everyone has experience of this. So kings must be very honest, pious and religious. Therefore, they are called Rajarshi. Lecture 2.32. So, text 33. If, however, you do not perform your religious duty of fighting, then you will certainly incur sins for neglecting your reputation as a fighter. So, one of the argument was Arjuna that I will incur sin. So he is again and again refuting that. And tata swadharmam kirtim cha hitva papam avapsati. Atat chetvam tvamam dharmyam sangramam. This is dharma sangrama it is. Sangrama word. So for yuddha, word is used, and here sangrama word is used. Na karishashi, if you do not do. Tata swadharmam kirtim cha hitva papam as. Two things he says. By not fighting in this battle, you will lose your reputation, and you will also incur sin, he says. In the Purport Prabhupada, Arjuna was a great fighter at that time. He was a great fighter. There was no fighter equal to, archer equal to him. In the three worlds it is told, in some place. That we can see that. He helped even demigods also. He fought on behalf of demigods with the demons. Demigods were not able to defeat these Nivartha Kavacha demons. And Arjuna went and fought with them. And in this way, he exhibited more strength than demigods. So he was so famous archer he was. So it's all because of Krishna's mercy. And Arjuna also remembered that, no, when Krishna left the body, first canto that comes, Arjuna was remembering, this is all because of, I could personally go in the self-same body to heavenly planets, which is not possible. And there I was given so much royal reception, and I was made to sit next to King Indra. So, all these things Arjuna is remembering. I could kill demons on behalf of, defeat the demons, kill the demons on behalf of demigods. So it is all because of Krishna's mercy. But anyway, he was a very famous king for doing all these things, famous Kshatriya. And here in the purport, Prabhupada, he says that he defeated even Lord Shiva, who came as a hunter. And then Lord Shiva gave him Pashupatastra. So everyone knew that he... So Kirti, he will lose. If you don't fight, he will lose as a great Kirti, as a, you know, your fame as a great fighter. So, and he will incur sin for neglecting dharma. See, dharma, if there is no dharma, that is adharma. Dharma is pious activity and adharma is sinful activity. If one does not follow dharma, then that is sinful activity and result will be going to hell. So Arjuna was a famous fighter and he attained fame by fighting many great demigods, including even Lord Shiva. After fighting and defeating Lord Shiva in the dress of a hunter, Arjuna pleased the Lord and received as a reward a weapon called Pashupatastra. So everyone knew that he was a great warrior. Even Dronacharya gave him benedictions and awarded him the special weapon by which he could kill even his teacher. So he was credited with so many military certificates from many authorities. Military certificates from many authorities, including his adopted father Indra, the heavenly king. But if he abandoned the battle, not only would he neglect his specific duty as a Kshatriya, but he would lose his fame and good name and thus prepare his royal road to hell. In other words, he would go to hell not by fighting but by withdrawing from battle. Text 34. Akirtim cha vibhutani katayishyanti te vaya sambhavisasya cha kirtir maranadati dilchati. People will always speak of your infamy, and for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. People will always speak of your infamy, and for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. Oh, I'm reading it again and again. So people will always speak of your infamy. People means bhutani. Always, avyayam. Avyayam means for eternal time to come. Not that, oh, once they will speak and leave. You know, people want some subject matter to speak, right or not? Some masala they call it as. Some masala to speak, right? So they want to speak. Some subject matter. As soon as Kunji Bihari and Balram come together, immediately they start speaking loud, loud, loudly. So, Katayishanti. Akirtim chapi bhutani. Bhutani means all living entities. People in general. Katayishanti. What do you think? They will do Krishna Katha? No. They will do Arjun Katha. Arjuna is running away from the battlefield. That Katha they will do. They will speak about your infamy. Thevayam, not once, for all time to come. Sambhavitasya chakirtir maranad achirichyate. Sambhavitasya means for a respectable person. Akirti. Akirti is maranad achirichyate. It is more worse than death it is. So Kshatriyas cannot tolerate infamy. Brahmanas, they would be distressed. They are insult, praise, they are beyond that. They are not bothered about the dualities of the material existence. So they just, someone will talk, you know, they will think that who will stop or shut the mouth of the people. People will speculate and they have their mind and their mouth. They will go on speculating, they will go on speaking. Who will stop the people? So Brahmanas, they just don't care. They just don't care. So dogs will keep barking, just don't care. But For Arjuna, it is not like that. But of course, Brahmanas also, they are also respectable people. So, and especially for preaching, one may have to maintain self-respect. You see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told Trinadapi Surichena, but he himself took sannyas so that people can respect him, offer him obeisances so that he can preach to them. And our Acharya has told, Pratishta is hog's tool it is. Pratishta, Shukere, Ravishta. But they themselves, what they do? They maintain respect. Like, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote that song, Swagata. But he himself will wear, when he is speaking to English people, he will wear that long English coat, wear shoes. Very elegant. He will go on his car, special car. Only two people had that car. One was Viceroy from England and another was Bhaktisiddhanta. So, he will go on car. So, in this way, self-respect has to be there. So, dignity has to be maintained for preaching sake. That is first to serve. That's how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. I will write a contract to go to hell to serve the words of my Guru, like that is. So for the sake of service to Guru, one may maintain dignity. And so, but it is for service, not for fulfilling our egoistic propensities. Ego, false ego. Both as friend and philosopher to Arjuna. So Kshatriyas cannot tolerate, right? That's why when they are fighting, they call. They do name calling, what they call in English. You are like this, you are like a dog, you are like this, you are like this. Agitate them, you know, so that they fight. This is what happens among Kshatriyas. Both as friend and philosopher to Arjuna, Lord Krishna now gives his final judgment regarding Arjuna's refusal to fight. Oh Lord. So this is final judgment. This should be end of Bhagavad Gita. He should start fighting. But it did not end here only. Why it did not end here only? So Arjuna is asking intelligent question, philosophically understanding. Basically, so it is not a dogma it is. Bhagavad Gita is not preaching some dogma, you know, it is very philosophical. So now what is the necessity of another 16 chapters to discuss? So that Krishna is convincing us what to do, what should be our mission of life based on knowledge and philosophy. Not just, oh, it is my order, you have to do. Arjuna, this is my order that you have to fight, you should fight. Not like that. Then after, in the end, he says that. So this is what I told, if you like, you can do it. The Lord says, Arjuna, if you leave the battlefield before the battle even begins, people will call you coward. And if you think that people may call you bad names, but that you will save your life by fleeing the battlefield, then my advice is that you do better. You would do better to die in the battle. So Arjuna, Krishna is telling. This is final judgment, Krishna. So don't run away. You die. Better die here. Don't run away, he says. So that's why, that's how our spirit should be. We should better die. Die means don't commit suicide. That is sinful activity. That kind of fighting spirit should be there against Maya in spiritual life. We should not give up. Our fight. No, I will overcome material desires. I will conquer my senses by holding Krishna's lotus feet. Not that by our endeavors we will be able to do. By holding the feet of Guru and Krishna. For a respectable man like you, ill fame is worse than death. So you should not flee for fear of your life. Better to die in the battle. That will save you from ill fame of misusing my friendship. And from losing your prestige in society. So the final judgment of the Lord was for Arjuna to die in the battle, not withdraw. Vayadranadu paratam The great generals who have highly esteemed your name and fame will think that you have left the battlefield. Bhaya, out of fear only, and thus they will consider you insignificant. So, alright, they will not say you have left out of magnanimity, they will say that you are left out of fear. Lord Krishna continued to give his verdict to Arjuna. Do you think that the great generals like Duryodhana, Krapana, and other contemporaries will think that you have left the battlefield out of compassion for your brothers and grandfather? They will think that you have left your out of fear of your life, and thus their high estimation of your personality will go to hell. Bahumato. Bahumato means great estimation. Okay. So it's clear. This spirit of Kshatriya was prevalent even around the 300 years ago in India. There was a king, Yashumant Sen is a Sena dynasty, very famous in Bengal. So they were all Vaishnavas actually. These kings were Sena dynasty kings. Vaishnavism in Bengal, in that North Indian area, Northeastern area, flourished in the kingdom and under the patronage of this Sena dynasty. So many kings were great devotees. He was the commander-in-chief of Emperor Aurangzeb. In one battle, he was defeated and came back to his home. His wife heard that her husband had been defeated and was coming home. She told the caretaker to close the door of the palace. When Yashumant Sen came there, he saw that his palace door is closed. He sent a message to the queen asking, "Why you have closed the door? I have come home." So the messenger informed the queen, "The king has come and he is asking you to open the door." The queen replied, "Who is the king? Yashumant Sen cannot come here, having been defeated. Yashumant Sen either wins the battle or lays down his body there dead. So the man who has come must be a pretender. He is not like King Yashumant Sen." She refused to open the door, and that is the Kshatriya spirit. There is one more story similar to this. One Muslim king was attracted to some queen. He went as a you know, like this pretender as her husband. Then she did not open. Same thing. Either he will die or win, or he will lay down his body. "This should not be my husband," like that she understood it. That is happened in this side of the, in somewhere in Rajasthan area. It's Rajasthani kings. So, text 36. Avashabadam shabahun vadishanti tava nindantastava samartyam tato dhukkataram. Your enemies will describe you in many unkind words. Unkind words. And then what is that? Unkind words. Unkind words means avashyavadan, fabricated. So you are like a woman, they will say. Alright. Arjuna is like a woman. He ran away from the battlefield. He is not fit to be a man. He's like that, they will say. That is the meaning of avashyavadamsha, unkind words. Can you imagine for a kshatriya to be called like a woman? Compared like a woman, it is so bad. So, we'll describe you in many unkind words. Scorn your ability, nindantas tava samartyam. What could be more painful for you? Lord Krishna was astonished in the beginning at Arjuna's uncalled for plea for compassion. You know which verse it is? Lord Krishna was astonished in the beginning. Kutastva kashmalam idam vishame samupastitam anarya justam asvargyam akirtim karamarjam. And he described his compassion as befitting the non-Aryans. Now in so many words he has proved his statements against Arjuna's so-called compassion. Text 37. Hato va prapshasi swarg jitva va bhokshase mahi tasmad virdhishan kaunteya yudhaya krita nishaya. O son of Kunti, either you will be killed on the battlefield and attain the heavenly planets, or you will conquer and enjoy the earthly kingdom. Therefore, get up with determination and fight. So, either way you will be successful. Tasmad uttishta. Uttishta means get up. Wake up. Uttishta. There is one verse in Chandogya Upanishad, Uthishta Jagrata Prapya Varam Nirbodhata. That verse is there. So Uthishta means get up, Jagrata wake up, attain the boon of eternal life, it is told. So our Vivekananda also told that, wake up, get up, but he did not tell what is the goal of life. So his goal of life was, according to him, India is very backward. According to Western standards, it has to update with the Western. That is his wake-up call of Vivekananda. So, I don't know how he understood Vedic literatures. So, Prabhupada, even though there was no certainty of victory for Arjuna's side, he still had to fight. For even being killed there, he would be elevated to heavenly planets. Here, Yudhishthira, Kaunteya, Yuddhaya Kritanishchaya, Kritanishchaya, it is told, with determination. Arjuna previously expressed his confusion to fight by saying whether he should fight or not. Here, the Lord is explaining him in this verse that and the next to go on fighting. So this is what I wrote. So Arjuna's position is very precarious. There is a Bengali proverb. There was a famous dancing girl. Now those ladies have a veil called gunta. What is that? Guntan or Guntan? Guntan. What they say? Guntan, no?
Gungat.
That is, Gungat is Hindi. Not Hindi it is. It's what they say. You know, this Muslim speak, what is that?
Urdu
word it is, I think. Gungat is not Urdu word? Sure. Anyway, Bengal is Guntan, I think, in Indian language. So when this dancing girl was on the stage, when this dancing girl was on the stage, hear this. So when this dancing girl was on the stage, she noticed that many of her relatives were in the audience. See, generally in Indian system, as soon as some relatives come, immediately they cover there. So, and this dancing girl, she is supposed to dance on the stage in front of so many people, and she saw that in the audience some relatives are there. So she began to draw her veil, means that, covering gungat on the head. They cover, no, sorry. This is correct for a dancing girl. She is there to dance. This is not correct to dancing girl. She is there to dance. She should not appear to be shy and must freely dance according to her duty. For dancing girl, what is her dharma? She has to, without shamelessly, she should dance, right? Nowadays it is worshipable. Those days it is not so appreciable. Low class woman. Nowadays they are considered very high class. Those are dancing girls. So a rascal kills a man and makes the excuse that killing is not sinful because in Bhagavad Gita it is advocated. Someone may say like this, no? Apparently to rascal it appears that Krishna is encouraging Arjuna to fight. And he says it is not sinful. But the rascal does not see his sinful position. By the Swadharma principle, it is a Kshatriya's duty to fight and to kill in the fight. If you are fighting and becoming sympathetic, then it's like the dancing girl who, when on the stage, appears to be shy. Why should she be shy? She should dance freely, and that will be to her credit. So on the battlefield, you cannot be compassionate. That is not required. So, yeah, this is one thing. If you are a Kshatriya, you should fight. Why you have to, if you are a dancing girl, you have to dance, right? Why you have to show? Now, so-called artificial compassion, artificial humility. Nowadays, artificial humility is very popular, it is. Prabhupada wanted Brahmanas with Kshatriya spirit. No need to show we are humble. We are humble devotees. We are not bothered what world is thinking, what scientists are speaking and all. We have to fight against it. What government is making policies, we have to fight against that. Right? In India, you see, this live-in relationship, they just made it as a law. No one objected for that. No one objected. They just went on. You know, we should have fought. You know? So there in Islamic State, they are fighting with arms. At least we should ideologically, we have to fight, right? At least give some ideological fight. Another thing which I was telling, you know, I told you many people, in the West, at least they are fighting against this atheism. They are intelligent design theory, they are promoting it like anything. So even atheists like Richard Dawkins and all, they are frustrated. So he says, you know, that guy, he is telling, he has made one documentary and he is telling, in my lifetime, I wanted to see this religion to be abolished. I am paraphrasing, not the exact. I just wanted to see it out of the screen. But no way, we are not able to break the ice. Religion itself come back now with more vigor, like that he says. So at least in the West, they are giving fight. In India, they are dull. Such a great philosophy is there, Bhagavad Gita philosophy. So no one is making any noise. They are just going on. So Prabhupada wanted. Sukha dukhe same krutva labha labho jaya jaya tato yuddhaya yujyasva naivam papam bhavapsasi. Do though fight for the sake of fighting without considering happiness and distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat, and by so doing you shall never incur sin. So this is a samata. This is like a little elevated platform. It is not just result, enjoying the result, being detached from result it is, right? Whether sukhe dukhe, labha lav, jaya jayo, one should fight without bothering the considering the results. So this is the topic of the next section actually, buddhi yoga. So this is basically nishkama karma, where nishkama karma, we are not desiring the result here. You right or not? Don't bother about the result, he says. Just as a matter of duty, you fight. He says. So, nishkama karma will free us from sinful reactions. So, he says. Okay, I'll just read. Lord Krishna now directly says that Arjuna should fight for the sake of fighting because he desires the battle. So now Prabhupada, he doesn't just present it as, like previously we were discussing, he doesn't present it as prescribed duty. He presents it as Krishna's will, fighting is. So it is because of desire of Krishna. It is a devotional service for Arjuna. It is not just some nishkam karma or, prescribed duty within Varnashrama. So then, by doing this, those who are devotees of the Lord, they are not obliged to anyone. So they are in the middle of the purport, it is there. But he who has completely surrendered himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness is no longer obliged to anyone, nor is he debtor to anyone. As one is in the ordinary course of activities, it is said, Devarshi Bhutatman Ranam Pitrinam Kinkaro Nayam Ranicharajam Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Parihritya Kartum. So, anyone who has completely surrendered to Krishna, Mukunda, giving up all other duties, is no longer a debtor, nor is he obliged to anyone. Not the demigods, nor the sages, nor the people in general, nor kinsmen, nor humanity, nor forefathers. Why this verse is being quoted here? So when we talk about prescribed duty, we do it as an offering to all these people. So because we are, as soon as we take birth in this world, we are obliged to the six kinds of living entities. Devarshi Bhutatma, Nrinam, Pitrinam, Nakinkaro, Nari. So these are the six kinds of obligations which one has to fulfill. So by quoting this verse, Prabhupada is telling that you fight as a duty, as a matter of duty. So you will be able to fulfill the obligations to all these people. But actually this verse says Those who are surrendered to Mrukunda, for them there is no obligation. In other words, you fight. This doesn't mean that you have to renounce your prescribed duty. You have to do it as service to me, he says. You got the idea? Someone may quote this verse, Devarshi, those who are surrendered to Krishna, for them there is no obligation, they don't have to do any prescribed duty. But even if you don't have any, you have surrendered to Krishna, but you don't have any obligation, but still you have to perform prescribed duty for pleasing Krishna, as a service to Krishna. That is Krishna's point here. So Prabhupada, that is the indirect hint given by Krishna to Arjuna in this verse. And the matter will be more explicitly, more clearly explained in the following verses. In the next verses, what is the meaning of this is? In the next verses, Krishna will tell more about this. How one should work for Krishna. So how one should work on the platform of Buddhi Yoga, on the platform of knowledge of Krishna. So in Vedic culture, Nishkama Karma is directed to Devarshi Bhutatma Pitrinam Nranam. And in devotional service, so we do it for the sake of Krishna. That is the difference we have to understand. It's not that we will give up. Even in the name of devotional service, we should not give up prescribed duty. Right or not? Nowadays, our tendency is that, oh, we are the surrendered devotees. We don't have to do any prescribed duty. But we should do it for the sake of Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna, on behalf of Krishna. And there is one more statement by Srila Prabhupada. There is no consideration of happiness or distress, profit or loss, victory or defeat in the activities of Krishna consciousness. So, now this point. So here, even Nishkama Karma Yogi is also not attached to one's result. Then what to speak of devotees? They should not be attached. But that doesn't mean that we will not produce any result for Krishna. In devotional service, we are result-oriented also, simultaneously. So, someone was correcting me, or someone was complaining to me that I am very result-oriented person. I am a result-oriented person. I understand. I try to plan my activities and my preaching that my energy is properly utilized. It is not wasted, right or not? So definitely we should, because we want to do something for Krishna, right, in Krishna consciousness. We want to do something for Krishna. We want to change the world. We want to preach and transform the world. So we have to be result-oriented also. We should not be just an unintelligent way of just go on like a sheep. So in Krishna consciousness, but if it happens or not happens, then we are detached in that sense. So, this is the point. Happiness or distress, profit or loss, victory or defeat, we will go on doing. But it is not that we will not think about result. We want to produce result for Guru and Krishna, definitely. That everything should be performed for the sake of Krishna in transcendental consciousness. So, there is no reaction to material activities. Attachment to the result produces reactions. Yeah, so what he is saying here, everything should be performed for the sake of Krishna in transcendental. So there is no reaction to material act. That means, if you are attached to results, then you will become bound by reactions. He who acts for his own sense of gratification, either in goodness or in passion, is subject to the reaction, good or bad. So, that is indirect hint given by Krishna to Arjuna in this verse, and the matter will be more clear. So this I read. So Krishna is talking about this. Now he is giving hint here in this verse that what he is going to speak in the next section. Next section he is speaking about you have to do work, but you should not be attached to the results. So that is what he is giving the hint here. It will become more clear. Prabhupada says, okay, one quote is there from lecture and then we'll end. This is Brahma Bhuta, 4:30:20. Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atmana Shochati Nakangshati. Bhagavad Gita 18:54. A devotee is always Prasanna Atma because his happiness is to serve Krishna. His only business is to see Krishna happy. That's all. This is devotion. See? So there may be loss or gain. There may be victory or defeat. There may be distress or happiness. It doesn't matter. He is not affected with his with this duality. That is being taught now. Real Bhagavad Gita begins here. Krishna is teaching. In the last also, this will go on in different languages up to the end of Bhagavad Gita. Means different way of, different words. Mamekam sharanam braja, that's all. Samsiddhir haritoshanam. Bhagavata also confirms. You do not look after whether it is loss or gain, but you have to see whether Krishna is satisfied, that's all. That is your only business. That is your only business. That is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Atapumbe Vijasreshta Varnashrama Vivag Sanushtitasya Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. Haritoshanam. The real perfection of life is whether your actions Krishna is satisfied. That is perfection. You don't consider of your personal victory, defeat, loss or gain, distress or happiness. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung that when I work very difficult task for Krishna, that difficult task becomes very happiness for me. That difficult task becomes very happiness for me. You know this verse, this song? When I take difficulties on behalf of Krishna, that is the source of happiness for me. What is it? Anyone remember song Haribol Kunji Bihari? You should know, learn the meanings of the songs also. What is that? Dehas, Bada Sukha, what is that? I also forgot now, long back. We used to sing all these things. That is the standard of happiness. In material world, there is duality. In the absolute world, there is simply happiness. There is nothing else. Just like when Krishna is going to Mathura, all gopis become very, very distressed, crying. But we cannot understand what is the happiness of that distress. That we cannot understand from this material point of view. That is greatest happiness. When the gopis are crying in separation from Krishna, that is greater happiness than meeting Krishna. Than meeting Krishna. This is Krishna philosophy. That is now beginning. So basically what Prabhupada is saying that we have to elevate ourselves to beyond these dualities of happiness and distress, loss and gain, and come to the absolute point where we will, even the so-called happy distress also becomes happiness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any questions, comments? Yeah, you see in the history you see that, but generally why it is like that? Because that kind of people will attract by their karma and consciousness, they will attract that kind of soul there. That's how it came as seminal. But like you see, Dhritarashtra is born, but he is not qualified as a king. Why they made Pandu as king? Because he is not qualified, although he is coming in seminal parampara. So, birth is there, because birth is also depends on karma, right? Previous karma. So, we are talking society based on guna and karma. So, because of karma, such soul only enters there. Therefore, it is ultimately guna and karma, but birth has its place, play to role. But basically, it is guna and karma. That is, beyond birth also, there is karma only, because according to karma, one takes birth, right? Guna karma is bhagavata. You got that? Karma, guna karma is the basic principle. There is no doubt in that. So, in this way, how now we will do? That is the point. Yeah, that is in a linguistic sense to express the situation. Right? So he is just to glorify him. Oh, Kshatriya blood is flowing him like that. That is a poetical language.
Yeah, because Krishna could understand the blood of
not just blood, blood is there, external, but main thing is that other than Kshatriya cannot tolerate seeing blood, like that was the point. If you would have been Brahmana, then you would have not tolerated that, like that. Then? Definitely, if it is within Varnashrama, it is, if it is sanctioned by Guru or Brahmana, qualified Brahmanas or Krishna himself. Yeah, what do you have?
Just give me that inquiring memory. What happened to that ISKCON Kshatriya movement and this Arikosan movement? Then presently all that is continuing or discontinued?
What happens to all the deviations? They will end up there. Nothing comes out of it. That's all. So what do you want to do? You have to organize a non-cooperation movement. That is Kshatriya movement, right? This analysis is good, right? So, I'll speak more about this. Nowadays, I am speaking all this Kshatriya mission and all. You all should not be diverted with that. Diverted with that, we have to do something, definitely. There is no doubt in that. So, I'll speak of what is the immediate necessity in 2.41, I'll speak. What we are supposed to do immediately now. Okay. Anything else?
You told that Dutchka Ram is staying in a temple till morning program open, then why you chant here?
Our sadhana should be stronger. That is just because we are coming, going, time will go. Because Gurukula boys, as soon as you, some gap is there, immediately they start playing and talking and delay. Therefore we decided we'll sit and chant here. The main thing is chanting in the association. Principle we have to understand. Chanting in the association of devotees. In the temple what we are doing? We are chanting in the association of devotees. Right? So here also you have your own small association. Right? Just to save time, going, coming, you know. Time is goes, no? Although coming to temple, we should not feel that it is a waste of time. That was the point. Okay? Then? Understood his question? Everyone understood his question? No. Because it is related to their small Gurukula world. Okay. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.